There's an old Irish story about a farmer named O'Connell who needed to plow his field before a dry spell set in, but his plow was broken. So he said to himself, "I know, I'll ask my neighbor, Farmer Murphy, to borrow his plow. He's a good man, and I'm sure he'll have done his plowing by now, and he'll be glad to lend me his machine." So Farmer O'Connell began to walk the three or four fields to Murphy's farm. After a field of walking, Farmer O'Connell said to himself, "I hope that Murphy has finished all his own plowing, or he will not be able to lend me his machine." Then, after a few more minutes of worrying and walking, O'Connell said to himself, "And what if Murphy's plow is old and on its last legs? He'll never lend it to me then, will he?" And after another field, O'Connell thought to himself, "Murphy was never a very helpful fellow. I reckon maybe he won't be too keen on lending me his plow, even if it's in perfect working order and he's finished all of his plowing weeks ago." And as O'Connell arrived at Murphy's farm, he thought, "That Murphy can be a mean fellow. I reckon even if he's got all his plowing done and his own machine is sitting there doing nothing, he'll not lend it to me just so he can watch me go to ruin." O'Connell stomped up Murphy's front path, banged on the door, and Murphy answered. "Well, good morning, Mr. O'Connell. What can I do for you?" said Murphy. And O'Connell said, with his eyes bulging, "You and your plow can go to hell." And he stomped off, forgetting what he had even come over for in the first place. Worry can be a tricky thing, and how it can get into our heads. Our scripture from the letter to the Philippians comments on the topic of worry and perhaps its opposite, joy. We actually know a lot about the background of this letter that Paul the Apostle wrote to the faith community in Philippi. Paul has spent time among the community, and there's evidence of mutual support. This is likely the first community the apostle founded in what is now Europe. And there is a closeness here that is not really found in the other letters. We know also that Paul is writing from prison, awaiting sentence in Rome, that he's been held in confinement for about 2 years, and yet the tone of the letter is overwhelmingly positive. Earlier in chapter 4, Paul attempts to mend a fracture in the community. Two leaders, Euodia and Syntyche, have been disputing, either with each other or with Paul. And Paul urges these two leaders to be of the same mind and encourages the congregation to support both of these women through whatever rift there is. And then, midway, Paul offers our passage here, what amounts to a benediction or a blessing. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be known to everyone." And the word gentleness here can be translated a lot of different ways, something like tolerance or open arms or inclusiveness. It's a welcoming word. "For the Lord is near. Do not worry, but go to God in prayer and thanksgiving. And when those things are done, the peace of Christ will be in you." Now, I think about the old Irish tale of Farmer O'Connell, how he started his journey to Farmer Murphy's with two things, a real need and hope. But as the journey wore on, doubt crept in, followed by negativity and then insult. We don't know if Murphy would have been able to help Farmer O'Connell or not, but that no longer matters, as O'Connell has closed off any opportunity that would have been there in the first place. Perhaps the story reminds us that when our minds are open, when they are hopeful, when they are focused on positive outcomes, then anything is actually possible. But on the flip side, when our minds are closed or when they're only open to doubt or criticism or negative messages, our possibilities become very, very limited. I think Paul here in this letter wishes to reorient the way that the community of Philippi thinks, particularly around worry. He knows that there is conflict, and without glossing over that conflict, he asks the community to do a few things. That in the time of conflict, or whenever the world does not seem right, be in prayer. That in times of conflict, or when the world does not seem right, provide support for one another. Or in times of conflict, and when the world does not seem right, practice joy. It's been a difficult year for many. Between personal hardships, loss, a constant dose of bad news, and wobbly and divisive year of politics, many of us have found ourselves feeling lonely or depressed or worried or anxious. And then Christmas season comes along and tells us to be joyful. And perhaps the command of this season to be joyful feels for some of us a bit forced, or inappropriate, or even a little offensive. How can we be joyful knowing what we know? While our passage is not a formula for arriving at joy, it might be helpful. First, Paul tells his flock to rejoice in the Lord. Joy can be found in a faith that proclaims hope, love, and kindness as its guiding principles. By attending to our faith, we are placing our joy in the divine, regardless of what situation we are presented with. That in good or bad, there is still and there is always space for hope, love, and kindness. This idea is fortified when Paul calls on the Philippians to pray. In prayer, we are reminded that we are not alone, that our concerns, our griefs, our joys, and our struggles are God's concerns, God's griefs, God's joys, and God's struggles. God is with us in it all and through all. But Paul adds something very important here, perhaps a key to being joyful and not simply delusional during this season. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thanksgiving looks backward, while hope looks forward. Thanksgiving asks us to assess what good has already been done. I don't know if it's a human characteristic to gloss over what progress has been made, or if our culture moves so quickly that we often fail to slow down and measure how far we've come. But good has happened this year. A lot of it. And this ability to look back and see what is good, see what good has happened, is vital to how we approach our future. You know, it's a joyful thing to go over to the parish hall and read all of the leaves on our Thanksgiving tree that was put together about a month ago. There we wrote the many things that we are thankful for. Spouses and partners and children and grandchildren and families, our health and well-being, the church, music at the church, youth programs at the church, and God, just to name a few. When we look back with thanksgiving, we are, in some real sense, telling ourselves that the future does not have to be as conflicted as we feel today. Because we've been through difficulties, losses, and times of upheavals before, and have come out the other side. Not unscathed, but wiser, more mature, and more confident and hopeful in our abilities to tackle the next challenge. Joy, then, I think, lies between our ability to be thankful for what good has been accomplished and our hope that we will get through whatever current challenges we face. This is the season of joy and peace, two words mentioned in our reading this morning. Good reason to include them in our Advent readings this year. It's included in the third Sunday of Advent readings because there is a noticeable shift in Advent on the third Sunday. With the exception of John's message about brood of vipers and all of that stuff, it does get more cheery moving forward. From here on, we focus on the joy of this season by looking back at what God has done in this world and by proclaiming that this same God is continuing to bring forward new forms of love and justice into this world each and every day. Next week, even, we will read Mary's song, a song grounded in the history of God working in the lives of her people, working for love and justice, and yet also proclaiming that God is doing a new thing in the coming of Jesus. So may this Christmas story serve as a reminder that God has been and is ever and always with us. That God remains faithful to us, working for love and justice in this world. And that because of this, joy is possible in this world of ours, despite knowing what we know. May we be reminded this week of how far we've come this year. May we be reminded of all that is good in this world and give thanks. And may we find hope in what God is about to do in our lives as we celebrate the arrival of the newborn Christ. Amen.